Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, I think I just photobombed Leroy while I was doing this intro, is our Milwaukee baseball insider for Brews.com, Adam McKelvey. Adam, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
I am great. I am so excited for DJ Kitty. I can't even, like, keep my mind straight on my work.
Who?
You guys know
who?
DJ
what?
Kitty at Tampa?
Never heard of him. Who's DJ
Remember
Kitty?
Remember the rally rap at Miller Park years ago?
Yeah.
Well, this is like that, but awesome.
It's a rally cat? Is that what you're telling me? There's a rally
DJ,
cat?
It is a DJ cat. And it's not a guy in a cat suit. It is a cat spinning records.
It's an actual cat spinning records. In the stadium in Tampa Bay?
It will change your life. This is like weird baseball. This is one of my favorite spots because it's so different from every other place. It's like a little three-day minor league stop with all kind of the weird stuff that they do, and the rings are in play, and balls hitting the roof, and outfielders losing the ball in the roof, and it's just a weird place, and DJ Kitty is the icing on the cake.
DJ Kitty. Wow.
I don't think anybody's ever said that Tampa Bay is one of their favorite spots in Major League Baseball.
I love it, man. I love it. It's weird.
Also weird is that Eric Thames is leading off again, Adam. Did anybody ask Craig Counsell after lineups came out yesterday? And y'all saw that Eric Thames was leading off, what exactly his thinking was in putting him there?
Well, it's your best on base guy or one of your best on base guys. And even when he's not been hitting, now he had a good July again, but even when he wasn't hitting in May and June, he was still getting on base. He's also not hitting with runners in scoring position this year, which is a separate debate. You know, the stat guys will tell you that's kind of an irrelevant stat, which makes the baseball guys kind of lose their mind, and maybe we shouldn't go down that road. But the fact is, he's not had good numbers with runners in scoring position. So if you put him at the top of the lineup, he's a guy who gets on base, and you maybe have some guys who've had more success in those run-producing spots have an opportunity to drive him in, and I think that's the thinking there.
You know, when you talk about this Brewers team where they are right now, Rami was asking earlier, whether or not you're starting to have doubts of this, whether or not this team can ever get out of this offensive funk that they've been in since the All-Star break. What do you say to that?
Well, it's a legit question, and I think another legit question is, you know, did they sort of realize over the break where they were and what opportunity they had and start to press? I mean, I don't think that's an insignificant question because for that first half, they were just grinding away at the schedule, and it was all going really fast, and they weren't thinking about it. And you saw a great game at, say, Wrigley Field right before the break, and then remember that great series at Yankee Stadium where they got a lot of national attention, and they just were swinging the bat free and easy and relying on the guys around them, and it was going good. Then they take a couple-of-day break, and sort of, you know, that had to be on their minds. They're with family and friends over that All-Star break, and they're all asking about the Brewers being a big story in Major League Baseball, and, you know, maybe that affected them a little bit. Nobody's going to admit to that, and I've tried to raise the question with a couple of guys, and they all say, you know, no, it's just one of the cycles of the season. But I don't know. I think that's a pretty strong theory for what happened here. I think there's something to be said for perhaps they got iced by that break.
Yeah, Adam, can you really – I mean, I know it's been a while ago, but – Counsell was asked about, it seems like to me he was sick of answering questions about Braun, so he finally just said, hey, listen, Braun is day-to-day. Can we just stick with that from now on, or is it really you have to go, when is he going to play, how long is he going to play, and things of that nature?
Well, they I know they have it, you know, reasonably mapped out, kind of from series to series of how they're going to play him. And, you know, there are spots where he's going to play – Cubs series, he played all three. They're going to play him, and people are going to get upset about it, and people are going to say he's a $20 million player who can't play every day and get all bent out of shape. But I don't think Craig Counsell is going to have that change his his outlook on how they're going to go about this. The idea remains the same. Get as many games as you can of a productive Ryan Braun. And there's no scientific way to figure this out. It's a lot of feel between him and counsel and the training staff of how far they can push him until you get to a point of diminishing returns. And there has been a lot of diminishing returns so far this season. It's been very frustrating for Ryan Braun, and they're trying to get him on the field as much as they possibly can, but have him be productive. The one other thing I'll say about Ryan Braun that's just been interesting, and it'll sound like an excuse, but it's not. He brought it up, and it wasn't. I can just promise you, it wasn't said this way. Is if you look at his numbers, he is hitting. He has the highest hard hit percentage of his career, which is weird. So when he has been playing, he's been hitting the ball harder more often than in any other season, but his numbers are way down. So the way he's kind of looking at it is there has been some bad luck involved in some of the times he's up there and he's hit the ball hard. He's been robbed. You know, those stand out when you start to think about this. Those kind of at-bats will start to stand out. But that's something he has had on his mind a little bit. So I think they feel like they've had some success in this plan for playing time that they've had, even if that hasn't shown up necessarily in some of the numbers.
And that's strange, Adam, because he's not the type of hitter that teams can put the shift on. He's not strictly a pull hitter. So, because you'll see that with guys who, with the shift on, who will hit the ball hard, but there's somebody there because there are more fielders in the area where they're hitting the ball too. You can't do that to Ryan Braun because he spreads it all over the place. So it is literally just a case of bad luck if he's hitting the ball hard and it's landing in guys' gloves.
Yeah, and that's the way he's kind of talked about it and the way he sees it. But, you know, again, that's sort of a detour from what Leroy was talking about how much can he play. They want to keep him hitting the ball hard as consistently as possible, and they have just determined that the way to do that is to not play him every day the rest of the way. And I know it upsets people, and people get all bent out of shape about it, but it's just at some point you kind of have to accept the reality of that's what he is now.
You know, the other thing about this baseball team right now is I think this bullpen is improved for certain since the All-Star break. And to go along with this rotation, that looks to be better. You're still waiting on Chase Anderson to come back. And I think whether or not, you know, anybody wants to own up to this or not, I think there's some pressure here on Woodruff tonight. Because I think if Woodruff pitches well and can stay in this rotation, I think that's a huge bonus piece for this team.
I think you're right, Sparky. You know, they didn't make a move at the deadline, and I know there's a lot of listeners who probably wanted them to, you know, sort of go for it. Part of the thinking in not making a deal that you were going to regret later was that you had Woodruff available starting tonight, and now you've got Chase Anderson. We had news on him today. He threw a live BP that apparently went really well. He was throwing really hard, no issues with the oblique. He's going to go out on rehab next week for 3 starts, and then if you map it out, it puts him back either at the end of the San Francisco series later this month or at Dodger Stadium. So basically, by the end of the next road trip, Chase Anderson should be back for the Brewers. Is that too little, too late? You know, we'll see. But part of this was kind of part of the analysis and not really overspending to add a starting pitcher at the deadline. On the bullpen, the interesting thing to me is, you know, Jeffress to me is kind of like just a roll the dice. You didn't, you know, the player they gave up was in the fall league last year, but in indie ball sign, he was just, there were plenty of other pitchers kind of ahead of him in the pecking order. So this is just a flyer to me. And if you get something out of Jeremy Jeffress, great. If you don't, he's maybe a non-tender guy this winter and you build your bullpen out, you know, in other ways. But Swarzak was a really intriguing ad because he's jumped right into kind of that right ahead of Corey Knebel spot. And that has moved Jacob Barnes from the eighth inning to, we've already seen it a couple of times, to that guy when a starting pitcher puts a guy on in the sixth or seventh inning and he's up there in pitch count and Craig Counsell wants to make a move. Jacob Barnes has kind of become that first guy out of the pen. And, you know, you're talking about 97 with a really good cutter. And he's given up some runs lately, definitely, but he had a good outing in that last game against the Cardinals. And that's a pretty nice arm to be thrown out there in the sixth inning with a man on where you need to get some contact and get a double play like he did again against St. Louis. That's been a key. I think that's a big add because you add one guy and it allows you to sort of move other guys into a different role, and it makes that entire bullpen look a little different.
That's our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McAlvey. Check out his work at Brewers.com, MLB.com, and follow him on Twitter for up-to-the-minute news on your Milwaukee Brewers, at Adam McAlvey. And we appreciate it each and every Friday when you join us, Adam. Thank you very much.
All right, Google DJ Kitty. It's awesome.
Oh, actually, Leroy already did. I was watching it, and that's one cool cat, Adam McAlvey. That is one cool cat.
All right. I'm here for you.
Adam McAlvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bay Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.